Maggie Rogers mit Alaska. Auf Flux FM am Dienstagnachmittag. Die Künstlerin, die mit dem eben gehörten Song nicht nur den Pop-Paten Pharrell Williams, sondern auch den Rest der Welt von ihren Qualitäten als Songwriterin überzeugen konnte. Sie hat eine neue Single im Gepäck und möchte mit dieser auf ihre erste richtige LP hinweisen, die im späten Herbst 2018 noch erscheinen soll. Sie ist jetzt bei mir im Studio und wir quatschen ein bisschen über die Pläne für die LP, über Co-Produzenten ihrer neuen Single. Wir sprechen über Berlin und den Tod des Banjos und vieles, vieles mehr. Zunächst sage ich nochmal herzlich willkommen. Welcome to Flux FM. Maggie Rogers.
Hello.
You were kind of confused.
That's quite the introduction.
Yeah.
I should be working on my German.
You were wondering, is he going to continue in German?
I was just like wondering if you're talking a bunch of shit about me.
No. It's just nice things.
Okay, I trust you.
I only have to say nice things about you. I've been searching on the internet for stuff, weird and evil stuff.
Oh, the weird.
Say about you, but I didn't find anything.
It's
German journalism, you know? It's the ethic of German journalism. Always look for the dark sides first.
It's good to know that that's what I'm signing up for. All right.
No. Welcome. It's so nice.
Thanks for having me.
That you've made your way to Flux FM.
And I'm so happy to be in Berlin.
I'm happy to be informed about the fact that you're going to be releasing an album later this year.
I have an album coming out this year.
Oh, that's so great.
There's no date or title, I think, publicly yet, but it feels like I have this big secret, you know? But I'm really proud of this record and I love it and I'm so excited for everyone to hear it.
Yeah, lovely. The thing, though, is that I guess the recording process has been finished. You've been thinking about the way the LP looks already. Mm-hmm. So now the most or the hardest part of the whole thing while being in the music business is happening to you right now. You have to wait until November or something. isn't that a hard thing to do? Because you put so much effort into the thing and then you give it away to the label and they'll be like, yeah, we'll work on the promo and then you'll be able to release it in November or something.
I don't even know if it's coming out in November. It feels quite vulnerable because it's this thing where it's not mine anymore. It doesn't belong to me, but it also doesn't really belong to you yet. So I don't know where it feels like it's just like floating around in the ether somewhere, and I would just be a lot more comfortable if somebody could hold on to it.
it's nice that you see it that way, because one thing that you have to accept is the fact that you can't change too much about the whole thing anymore.
Well, I feel like art and deadlines, you know, it's a classic pairing. And if you're, as an artist, you're never satisfied with the work. You always want more. But I think I've always thought about records as like a record of a period of time.
Totally.
Way to catalog my life. So it makes sense that at some point it needs to be finished.
Yeah. And that's exactly the way to look at the whole problem, because otherwise you can get really frustrated.
Well, you know? I think you can just get like, even this record, I had a really hard time letting go. I mean, the mixing and mastering process, I was like really, really elbow deep in the weeds. And it's hard to say, okay, you know, this is as good as it's going to be for now. And I have to be okay with that.
Yeah, I once had the opportunity to record two records with the professional producers as well. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I left the studio, like last recording day, no more money to stay in there for any longer. When I left the studio, I was like, oh, that guitar solo, I should have played another tune. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But it's if you look at it as a recording of a certain amount of time where you were busy as an artist, I think it really makes sense.
Well, I think it's a constant practice of trying to be present and just sort of trying to trust that that's enough.
Yeah, you've trusted Greg Kurstin with the recording of he co-produced.
Well,
with Greg.
I did a lot of the production, and then I worked with Greg and Rostam Batmanghi and with Ricky Reed as well. And I, you know, as a female producer, I feel like it's very common that people will say like, "Oh, don't work with any men," because nobody will think that you made the record. Even just now, the first thing you said was, "Oh, this dude produced your record for you."
No. I haven't said that. I was aware of the fact that he was just co-producing your record, and I'm aware of the fact that Pharrell Williams didn't have anything to do with one note in Alaska.
That's a
misconception of many people as well.
People say, "I love that song Pharrell made for you."
No.
But aside that, off aside.
Yeah.
I had so much fun collaborating on this record because you need to work with people in order to learn. And it's like I went to grad school with like the most insane professors. I mean, and also Rostam and Ricky and Greg, all these people, their music has essentially soundtracked my life.
Yeah.
I mean, I learned how to make these creative decisions as informed by their work. So then to sit in the studio with them and see how they work and to learn from them in that way, it's a real honor.
But what was the reason for you to go for co-producers? Because you're a professionally trained producer. Mm-hmm. You have the talent to produce your own tracks, obviously.
Well, I just said...
Was it like a mirror thing that you needed someone to mirror or reflect on?
No, and there are songs on the record that I produce completely solo, mm-hmm. but I want to learn.
Okay, cool.
I want to grow, and I feel like if I never worked with another person, it would be impossible for me to grow.
Yeah, I was thinking about getting lost in music maybe, because if you're writing the music, composing the music, and then you start producing it as well, you can kind of get lost in the detail, and maybe it might be helpful if someone kind of like shakes you once in a while and go like, we have to finish the album.
Well, I've done it my whole life, so it doesn't scare me. It didn't scare me then, it doesn't scare me now. It is the thing I love the most to do.
Yeah, that's good. Now let's listen to the new single, Give a Little. It's a song about empathy, a very important topic these days, because people seem to have forgotten about empathy as a thing that keeps humanity together, I guess. Let's listen to the song, then we'll talk about it a little bit. Maggie Rogers auf Flux FM und ihre neue Single, Give a Little. Maggie Rogers, Give a Little auf Flux FM. Ein Auszug unter Umständen aus der kommenden Platte. This song will be on the LP that's gonna come out soon.
Yes.
We'll just stay with soon, right?
Yes.
It's gonna come out
this year. This year.
This year.
Yes.
That's fair enough.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to it already.
Thank you.
After you had been approached by some of the bigger players in the music industry in 2016 after the Pharrell video, mm-hmm. went viral. One of your first moves was to build up your own label, right? To build up, I think it's called DeBay Sounds.
Yeah.
Why is that a recommendable move for all the artists out there who are about to get signed?
Yeah, well, So I own my masters is the biggest thing. And so my record deal is really, it's a licensing deal. So they get to use my music for a certain period of time. Mine's 7 years. But then at the end of the day, I own my music, and I think everything about my education in the music industry, training as an engineer, studying the music industry, training as a producer, it's all about, I think the more you know, the greater your education is, the more control you can have over your work. And I think the more control you can have over those elements, the more you can just protect the music.
Yeah, that's why you sometimes talk about Bjork as being a role model for you, because
I just love her.
Yeah, and she was known in the 90s for her contracts with the record companies, which were saying that she could basically do whatever she wants. She could record like breathing sounds and give it to them as a master, and they would have to put it out. I mean, that's a little exaggerated though, but you know what I'm saying.
Well, I think it's in the best interest of everyone. I mean, music right now, especially with technology and recording, it's been completely democratized.
Yeah.
I mean, you can make things in your bedroom, and in fact, most of what I have out in the world was made in a bedroom. And
everyone was made in it. I'm sorry. Stupid joke.
I don't know. It gives a lot of power to creators everywhere.
Mm. And that's another thing that I like about your music, and that's another thing where I sense kind of like a trick, because you do use field recordings or strange noises in your music sometimes, and I sometimes feel that this is one of the last working moves to create something that's really personal, because the democratized, the fact is everybody has Audiologic, there's a sample bank with certain sounds that like every fucking musician on the whole planet has now, you know, and you have to be careful to, even if you're a super creative guy or girl when it comes to composing, you have to be a bit careful about the sounds that you use, because they're available to everyone now.
Well, I think that's awesome. I mean, like, Grimes' first record was just made on Logic stock sounds, and she made it sound like anyone else. Yeah. But sound samples for me have been, you know, sense of place is so important to me. It's been a nice way to weave in natural sounds from my life into the music. I think when I first came to Berlin and in 2015 and just completely fell in love with dance music. Mm-hmm. And I have so many friends here and a really wonderful community. And after that, I really just wanted to find a way to make dance music feel a little bit more human, because I come from this background of folk music.
Yeah.
And I was just sort of looking for a way to use all of that release of rhythm and combine it with this sort of craft of songwriting that I've grown up loving. And that's Yeah, I think sound samples are part of that too.
Yeah, that's true. But I think it's a good, there's this one little trick that you can use when you put in some sounds that you've just found on your own, because that's these are the sounds that nobody else has.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good trick. I think more musicians should think of that when they're producing.
I don't know if it feels like a trick, but it was more just sort of like the best way I could creatively express my world.
Yeah. But what I do love about the story about Berlin is the fact that you've learned to love electronic music here.
Yeah.
That's something that happens to a lot of people in Berlin. But you've kind of like changed your whole game after visiting Berlin.
Yeah, it's
true. One could say that Berlin killed the banjo in your music. And that's what I love.
Well, I stopped playing banjo a little bit before I came to Berlin.
Okay.
But Berlin, what I love about it here is that the dance music culture feels so... It creates community, and it feels such a part of mental health. I mean, even yesterday, I went out and with a friend, and I had dinner, and then afterwards, it was like 8:30, and I just like went dancing for an hour and a half just because I could, and everyone else was there too, and it's such a respectful culture. I think I grew up thinking that the club was this like hyper-sexualized, very expensive thing, because that's what it was in New York when I was there, or at least that was my impression of it, and... I remember the first time coming to Berlin and my friend being like, sneakers, t-shirt, like,
yeah, and it's a safe space as well.
It feels like a safe space. It feels like everyone...
Not every club in Berlin, though, but most of the electronic, deep house, deep
techno
stuff.
People respect each other and respect each other's space, and everyone's really there to help each other have this release.
Mm-hmm. Cool. I mean, it's nice that you...
I love it here so much. I've thought about moving here a bunch of times. I have so many friends
You still
here.
Live in New York, though.
I don't live anywhere.
Okay.
I toured...
Because I was wondering, it's so fucking expensive there, isn't
it? I lived in New York for 5 years, and then when I started touring, I spent 6 weeks in my apartment in the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, all right, rent doesn't make any sense. So I moved back to my childhood home in Maryland. And actually, it's crazy, because a lot of this record that I made was written there, and you know, when you're writing back in your childhood bedroom, you could kind of like blink and nothing happened.
Yeah, that's
true. It was like really surreal.
But quiet surroundings seem to be an inspiring thing for you, because I think Alaska was made when you were in Alaska, or you thought of the song
no,
first?
No, it was made actually 3 years after I was in Alaska.
Oh, okay. But you had the
The idea came again 3 years after I was there, but it was sort of just... the song Alaska is about all the change that happened in my life when I was there, and I think... Change is a really significant theme throughout my work. And I don't know. I feel like I sometimes get pegged as this like nature girl.
Uh-huh.
But I lived in New York for 5 years. I'm talking about how much I love dance music. I'm talking about maybe moving to Berlin. Like, I'm not a stranger to cities.
Yeah, that's true. But I was thinking about myself when I thought that, because when I go out into the woods or something and nothing distracts me and I'm there on my own, that's when melodies pop up in my head, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think creativity takes boredom.
Mm-hmm.
It takes just being quiet for a sec. And it's different for everyone else, but that's really helpful for my creative process.
Yeah. Well, Maggie, our time's running out, but as soon as you come back to Berlin, we'll meet again. We'll talk a bit more.
I'm
and
excited.
I'm already looking forward to presenting the LP right here on Flux FM.
Thank you so
and
much.
And if you want to move to Berlin, you need some help, you know, contact us. Maybe we'll find a flat for you or something.
Perfect.
I mean,
Thank
it's getting
so much.
More and more difficult to find a flat in here that's affordable.
Yeah.
But... Maybe we can help
you. All right, we'll work together.
Yes.
All right.
Let's work together. That's a good idea anyhow. Hier nochmal Falling Water von Maggie Rogers auf dem Plattenteller. Thank you for visiting.
Thank you so much for having me.
And please let us know as soon as you know about the release date of the LP
of course.
We can tell our listeners.
Hopefully
as well.
This week I should know.
Yeah, so let us know. Please,
I
Maggie.
Will.
Please. Bye-bye.
Bye.